Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Word today. We're going to be talking and begin a teaching. And I don't know, this series could go for a pretty long time because we're going to really delve into some things we need to understand about the Spirit-filled life. One of the things we understand this as Christians, there's a way of life to living that Spirit-filled, that if you're not Spirit-filled, and I don't care, in when I'm saying Spirit-filled, you could have some time in your life been baptized in the Holy Ghost, but not living a Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is, number one, is something different than just being born again. It's a different level of life. I found it out early as a Christian. I got born again. And I've talked about this already in my testimony, is the fact when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, to me, it was like getting saved again. There was such a change. A big change took place. Amen. And this is one of the things people, the main emphasis, and I saw this over the years, I came into the kingdom in during the charismatic renewal was going on. That was a big thing about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it just seemed like it was the easiest thing in the world to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. But it was a great emphasis. They talked about it all the time. There was a lot of controversy with it because the majority of the church world don't believe in it. So when groups are talking about it all the time and people are going to meetings and getting filled with the Holy Ghost, I was in Full Gospel Businessmen, and we got people filled with the Holy Ghost all the time in those meetings. Those meetings, people would always get baptized, healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And, I mean, that was just the commonplace that was going on at that time. Many people who got filled in the Holy Ghost in those days don't live a Holy Ghost life today. You know, because you got to maintain it. See, one of the great emphasis was everybody wanted to talk in tongues. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we understand that the initial sign that you're filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. That's the initial sign. But there's a life to be lived in that. You know, if one thing is when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, the first thing that I started to notice, other gifts started operating through me. Now, I expected that because I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching about the baptism, and that's its purpose. It's not so you can just talk in tongues. It's so manifestation of the Spirit can operate through you. Supernatural. When you go into the Spirit-filled life, this life is a supernatural life. In fact, series, I'm going to title it, Tongues. It's the door to the supernatural. See, that's what changed my life. Things started operating through me that were not me, that I had no ability to do. Things, I would know things by the word of knowledge that I had no natural reason why I should know it. It wasn't because of my education or I was so smart about things. I mean, I'm starting off as a baby Christian and I would just know stuff and things would come to me. I would turn around, I'd get revelations of things. Well, it wasn't by my study because I'm just starting off. And see, you're limited. Most of the church world today does not operate in the supernatural, and most of the Spirit-filled people don't. They operate out of natural knowledge. We talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, we need to understand this, you got to be able to cooperate with Him. You have to be able to do that. As many as are led by the Spirit, says these are the sons. If you're not led by the Spirit, you'll never live a son life. A son life is a supernatural life. It's a life outside of abilities that are beyond humans being able to just do it. See, it would always, it's like one of the main things that started to operate through me was the word of knowledge. Things would come to me and I'd know stuff. And I'd like, it would astound me that I'd know things and I'd find out, yeah, it was accurate, it was true, this is what's happening and going on, you know. I would know things about stuff. There's things that I would know ahead of time that were going to take place, and they'd take place. But you know, and this is a wonderful thing. We need to understand this because of the need of these things and operating. You can't prepare for things in life you don't know about. Amen. This is why most people run into things. You know, I've learned this over the years. Anything that has to do with my life, that has to do with me concerning me and my future, the Holy Ghost always shows me. And it ain't special ed. Everybody is supposed to, these are the things. This is what God does. And so we want to go over there into this area. We want to look at this because the key to this in the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking other tongues. Tongues is controversial, but the supernatural is always controversial. See, we've made these things into entertainment. We take supernatural today in society. We make movies and do all this stuff and all these superheroes and all these different things out there that we do. But they are just a fantasy. That is a fantasy of men for entertainment. That's much of what tongues and everything has become in the church. It's nothing but a fantasy. It's nothing but an entertainment thing. People don't realize what it is. And one of the reasons it is this, is because there's no teaching on it. No teaching. People can't even have faith to receive it. You get faith to receive it by teaching. People don't have faith to receive things from God because we're not teaching on it. Now, sometimes, you know, God will sort of sometimes let us in areas where just let us stay still because we don't push into things. Now, in last year, I had a sense of going over and teaching these things, but it was sort of held back and held back as not do that. And then finally the Lord said, go over and teach about it. It's one of the things we need to know. It's not enough just get people saved. God has something for people to do, and it requires God's ability to do it. And people aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not going to have that. They're not going to have all the ability. They'll have some abilities, but they're not going to have the supernatural abilities that operate through gifts. You need to know this because one of the things as we go in to teach this is the gifts of the Spirit operate. We find this out in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter as the Spirit wills. It's not as we will. So in other words, you've got to be able to be hooked up to the Holy Spirit and know when He wants to do something. They operate as He wills, not as men will. People sit around and say, well, I have the gift of this. No, you don't. Ain't no man got any of those gifts are his. None of them are. The Holy Ghost operates him at His will. If you had it, you could do it any time you want. And this is one of the great problems that I saw in charismatics and among them, is people say, I have this gift, so they run around and try to do it all the time. And all it is in the flesh. They prophesy in the flesh. They do all this stuff in the flesh. They turn around and do things. You know, I got a word for you. And sometimes I like to say to them, yeah, and I got one for you too. Sit down and shut up. Because people have said all kind of things. We get all kind of false prophecy. We get all kind of things. Because people are not operating in the Spirit. They're operating out of their mentality. And so we need to understand this. If people don't know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, they don't know what He does. Getting hooked up over in the realm of the Spirit. You know, this is one of the things we want to learn in through this. There is a great purpose in tongues, and tongues is the door for you and I to hook up into the spirit realm for in ourselves. And especially if you want to learn to minister to people, if you want to, you need to hook up more in that area. You know, it's like I learned from Brother Hagin and also Randy Greer talked about it. He said, you know, we have this tendency, and we need to understand, we have this tendency to want to do things all the time. And so prayer is not an absolutely fun thing for us to do. We don't like to spend a lot. We like to spend a lot of time doing things. We think we're very productive. If I'm doing, I'm doing. Well, if I'm doing and it's not accomplishing anything, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. And I'm just going to say this. We should do much more time praying than we do going. Why? Now, I'm not talking about we're praying, you know. Most people spend their time praying trying to get God to do what they want. We need to understand this. We need to spend time in prayer and find out what God wants and then go do it. Spend less time praying about what I'm doing and what I want to do. You know, God knows who's ready to hear the word and who's not. Yeah. You know, the Apostle Paul was going to go into one country and I said, the Spirit of it, don't go. Why don't you go over here? Why? You know what? Going to people that aren't ready to hear, you'll ruin them. You need to understand that. People that aren't ready to hear, you may turn them off and they won't listen to nobody because they ain't ready to be hearing stuff. You know, that's one thing I learned at Raymond. They said, you know, God may have called you to, you know, someplace to ministry to people, but you make sure that, because God will know if they're ready for you to go, don't go before they're ready. See, we need to, you should do things in the natural. There's many people from the natural of people trying to reach. I worked at, H. Beaver's Candy Company. And as I worked there, there's one thing as I found out is, you know, around witnessing. And we had these guys from one church and they, you know, they were totally against the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all this kind of thing. They were against these type of things. But they used to run around and they used to call it witnessing. But all they did is they drove people away from Christ. They were just all the time, they were all the time going to people and that stuff and, you know, you need to get your life straight. You need to know, and all this kind of stuff. What they did is they drove people away. And I saw this over time, that they were doing more harm and good than what they were doing. You know, they weren't going after people. What I would do, I would just, you know, God would show me things to do and some people to talk to. And I would, and things would work. They would just downright work, you know. And sometimes you just let things alone. Sometimes people are doing things and you just need to shut up. Keep your nose out of it. You need to listen on the inside. We need to learn these things because we can hinder God's plan. You know, these guys used to go around and do it. Finally, I got to talk around because I had this one guy that I'd get to talk to every once in a while. And he was a heathen like I was before I got saved. So every once in a while I get to talk to him and he'd listen to me. Well, these guys came along and they did their so-called witnessing to him. And they just turned him off completely. And you know what? After he wouldn't even talk to me about it. He wouldn't even talk to me. See, God was moving and they did it. So I went to him and sat down and talked with him. And I said, you guys need to shut up and quit witnessing to people. And I said, you ain't nothing but the devil's helpers. I said, you run around here and do, I said, you ain't, I said, you're turning people off. I said, we're trying to reach them. I said, you know, they're on their way to hell, whether they understand that or not. But we ain't, you know, we're not trying to run them down or do anything like that. We want to bring them to Christ. And is number one, I knew this about, see, they weren't spending time praying about people because I found us, when you do that, you start taking on a heart for that person. See, many times people don't have the heart for that person. They didn't know where that person is. I found out you get that. One thing is, see, when I started praying, like, you know, years ago, and I always tell this story, years ago when I was praying when Bill Clinton was president, when the Lord spoke to me one day and said, don't do any good for you to pray for president. He said, well, all you do is criticize him, you know, what he does. He said, you don't believe it's working. I said, yes, sir, you're right. I said, I'm guilty as charged. See, this one thing is I didn't do when other people did. I just didn't run criticizing Biden all the time. I prayed for him. And you know what? The more I prayed for that man, the more sympathy and love I had for him. Do you know that man's mind's gone? Do you know what it's like for a person who has, you know, Alzheimer's or something like that where their memory goes? Do you know what it's like when after you don't know where you're at? You don't know what you're doing? And people running around and making fun of him and saying things. I'm going to tell you what, ain't nothing but the devil. A lot of Christians are the devil's helpers. We have to knock this junk off. See, when you pray for somebody, I got compassion for him. And I thought, my God, this poor man has got himself in a position. He might be in a position he can't receive Christ. He might have let this thing go so far, but I ain't going to be the guy trying to send him off to hell.
That's right.
You see, we need to understand, this is why this supernatural life in tongues would take you to a place where you can see some things that you can't see naturally. And see, we need to go there. See, the church world today is not in the place. There's a great pride in the church world today thinking there's great superiority. And a lot of Christians ain't got much of a more superiority than the world has. And we need to get ourselves down to the place and that stuff is, you know, of getting at God's heart. God still wants to save everybody. He ain't changed. It ain't people he's looking to send off to hell. He doesn't want to do that. And so we need to have that same thing where we get that idea. Number one, it's going to require supernatural power to carry this out. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You can't. You need the Holy Spirit to witness. I don't care how many scriptures you know. My God, I mean, I sat and listened to a minister one time and he wasn't saved by his own thing. He wasn't saved. But that man could quote scriptures. He could take a subject and sit and nail scripture after scripture after scripture. Still wasn't saved. So somebody knows scripture, don't prove nothing to me. You know, you can do mental gymnastics, but I found out most people that can do mental gymnastics can't do any kind of spiritual gymnastics. You know, I don't know God because Ed's smart. I know God because God's smart. That's how I learned to know him. Because he's smart. I just got over it. Let's trust the smart guy. Let's get over into this thing. And what we want to do is we want to reach people, but we want to take people to something greater. You know, today people, see, one of the things that why the Christianity completely turned me off when I was young, because I was interested in the supernatural. I was interested in it. See, I read the stories in the Bible. I wanted those things. I don't like just to hear stories. You know, see, most Christians in America are no different than sports fans. They cheer the everybody else that does the work. You know, they do it at their little pom-poms. They do all their cheering. They wear all their stuff. They do all the, but they're not participants. I don't like not being a participant. I want to participate. You know, don't tell me about, you know, David and Ed can't have it. You know, I was just always like that. Well, as I went along, I saw in Christianity, this is what it was. It was just a storytellers. Telling about something happened, somebody for somebody else, someplace else, you know. And God doesn't do that today. You know, he don't do that. But I like, so you know what I did? See, I left Christianity. I started going out toward and started looking at religions that believed in supernatural. You need to understand that. Don't knock the guys out here in Satanism. They believe in the miraculous. Now, people say in the church world they do. Well, you ain't going to prove me that you believe in it till we start seeing some of it. See, we can say what we believe, but what good is a belief that produces nothing? Does it do any good? It has to produce something. Well, see, I decided I wanted to produce something. See, so I got involved over into the areas, eventually into the areas of sorcery. Like, I looked into other religions, and I found that many of the other religions, all they offered was a lot like we had in Christianity. They had all these great virtuous things and all these things, but their God never showed up. Just like I went to church, and God never showed up. God didn't show up at our church. You know, he didn't show up. All they told about it, he used to show up at places. But now he's in a recliner somewhere. He's laid back. He's waiting. Because one day he's going to do something, you know. We don't know what that is. Some days I think he's too tired to come back and get to church. What is it? What's going on? But see, you know, so I got over and I got involved in the areas of sorcery. Why? Because it's supernatural. And you know what? Found out it worked. I could get things in the spirit happening. I could get demonic powers to manifest themselves. We knew how to do it. And yes, Wanda, in our home, we'd have manifestations. Well, see, I knew it was true. And you know what? Christians say, oh, you know, you're over here in this evil devil stuff. Well, I'm like, well, you prove you're a God. Well, they couldn't. All that their God was nothing but talk. But we don't want to be the talk God people. You know what? Our God wants to show up.
Hallelujah.
That's what he wants to do. Well, in that thing, see, God was not upset at me. God wasn't upset because, you know why? I was in a search. I was doing more to go after God than the Christians were. I'm looking for something. I'm in a search. No, they're satisfied where they are, sitting holding their pew down. They're just happy there. And so I was in a search. And so God began to manifest himself to me. See, first of all, you know, it's really strange. Here I am involved in sorcery or anything, and a guy who's a Christian guy, who's not even filled with the Holy Ghost, he wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost, he turned around to be a real pain in the neck, a so-called Christian. But he goes up and gives me Kenneth Hagin's book on how to be led by the Spirit. Now, was that what you would do is give a sinner? I mean, it sounds absolutely stupid. But that's what he did. Now, you know, this is one of those things I believe with him, which I've had already. Kenneth Hagin called it being unconsciously read by the Spirit. In other words, you don't specifically know that God's saying it, but you just have sort of an unction to do this, and you do it, and you find out, oh, that was God. Huh. That ever happened to you?
Yeah.
That's happened to me. I've done things ready. He said, my God, God wasn't that, wasn't he? That wasn't just me thought of that. You know, he was doing something. But anyhow, so I read Kenneth Hagin's book. But you need to understand this. I found this out. Most Christians didn't understand the book. But see, because of being over and understanding how the spirit realm works, When I read that book, I took this book back to the guy after I read it, and I said, that's the first Christian I ever heard of that actually knows how the spirit realm works. See, when I came into Christianity, I knew what the spirit realm was about. We've been operating in that thing. So I thought, this is really great, because we found there's this spirit-filled church God sends us to, and you're going to go to the spirit-filled church, and I'm going to tell you, they're spirit-filled. When I got there, I was like, God, what did you put me here for? These people don't know nothing about the spirit. They don't know nothing. And so when you would talk about things of the spirit, you know, you were like, yeah. Sure, yeah. They didn't know. But see, they weren't taught nor were they trained about things of the spirit. And see, the spirit realm is not a spooky realm. It's the realm. You're living in a temporal realm right now. You're living in a temporal place. The real you is not going to stay here. You get that. Quit building kingdoms here. You're leaving. It's like me. I'm not sad when a Christian dies. I'm just sort of envious. Because I got to stay here with the rest of the idiots. Say, God, I'm dumb enough without being in a crowd of them. You know what I mean? Well, see, there's a kingdom that we belong to, and we need to get into this. I want to know how I operate. There's laws and rules of this thing, how it works. There's laws and rules. And we found that out. See, I found that out. Before I became a Christian, I found this out. That faith is what makes the spirit realm work, whether you're on Satan's side or you're God's side. Both work by faith. I found this out. When I came into Christianity, I started to see this. People who understood how to operate in faith with God saw manifestations of God. Well, we used to over here. People, see, we had groups of people who were in this sorcery thing, and I found this out. Some people, they couldn't have blown their nose spiritually. They got nothing to work. Why? Because they never really operated in faith. They never lived or like this stuff was true. And I found that the more I acted like demonic spirits operated and were real, the more they'd manifest. The more I acted like they were so, the more I would. If you do, then you yield over to that more. Well, it's fair. I can tell this. The more I found this, the more I yielded over to the areas of healing, the easier it became for me to get healed. So, you know, I knew this. Well, see, it's in the realm of the spirit, just the way it works. The more you operate in faith towards Son, it is the same way over on that side. See, you as a Christian, you and I can believe the wrong thing and yield more to it and cause ourselves problems. Whatever you do and you're yielding to, we need to understand. This is why we need to understand the spirit realm, how it operates. And there's things that we need to learn and know to do this. God has His system. Satan has his. We have to learn and develop what's God and what's not. See, many times, I'm just going to say this. Many times Christians, very good people, nice and everything, but they're yielded to wrong things. And sometimes because people are more interested in their religious teachings that they've had than they are about being spiritual. And people many times don't know what's spiritual and what's not. They don't know. One of the things is in the church world today is a big thing is the untaught Christians. And it's prevailing today. Ignorance in Christianity. It's just downright amazing. You know, and we take it in every group. I remember when I went to Rhema, I was fortunate. I got to sit under Keith Moore. He taught the Holy Spirit class, which Keith was excellent teacher. That I mean, Keith was just really good teacher in that area. And I got to sit in his class. And I remember because, you know, I had that great interest in that is number one. And then listening to him teach on it just really helped me out a lot of things. But I remember this in classes, sitting in classes. Now, we never people went to Rhema. And they would sit there and, you know, they would have their religious ideas and stuff. Keith was a guy, he'd go by the word. He'd just give you the word and give you the word and give you the word on stuff. And I remember classes, sitting there with students and, well, I believe it's like this, right? Well, Keith just showed you what the word said. The word says this. And people would just say, I think, what on earth are you doing? You know? But you know what? See, I learned things. Keith became a, in a way, a private teacher to me in that. I'd have questions about things of the Spirit. I'd ask God, go to class. Keith would be up there teaching, and all of a sudden he'd stop and say, I don't know why, but I get a sense that somebody needs to know this, and he'd say it, and I think, that's exactly what I asked God about. Never happened to any of those morons. Never happened to any of them. See, number one, I realized by sitting under Keith's teaching, the anointing he had in an area. And I thought, you know, so what I did, I accepted that. I accepted that anointing. I said, okay, that anointing works. Then I'm going to yield to that anointing. I'm going to yield to that thing. I'm going to yield to his. See, I believe he's called. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, God didn't put in, you know, where I came from, they know more. Well, if they knew more, why on earth are you here? And they say, God sent me here. No, he sent you here because you're stupid. And he wants to teach you to make you smart. But you decided you just want to still be Mr. Stupid. That's what you decided. But I thought, well, God anointed him and gave it to him. I thought, well, what that anointing has, I need to know some things. I need to know some more. And I got some wonderful revelations about things. I got further revelation. There's some things I thought I knew pretty much about, but I found out, you know, I had a good 50% in and I needed it added to. You need to know that about yourself. You're not as bright as you think you are. Always understand. And that's not degrading you. That's not degrading any of us. You know, as Paul said, we look through a glass darkly, or we're looking into a mirror dimly. In other words, everybody's in that category. There's things to learn and to know and understand, and we're in that place, and we need to see, you know, that we need to develop. There's things that we need to know, and always see yourself in that manner. I don't know enough. You know, just because I'm saved, you know, I'm just going to tell you, there's people going to get to heaven are just going to be shocked how little they knew. I mean, and there are people think they really got it, and they're going to be totally shocked because what they knew is mostly natural. They knew very little spiritually. And I found this out. I've run into some of the most spiritual people I ever ran into were nothing like most people would even think that, oh, that, well, we know more than they do. They didn't nearly know spiritually what that person understood. Weren't playing in the same ballpark. But they couldn't notice it because, see, we measure ourselves against the leagues that we built. You know, we have our major league Christian, you know, Christianity. People sit around today and they look at these ministers, big name ministers. I'm going to tell you, there's some of these big name ministers out here. My God, they ain't nothing but teeny boppers spiritually. That's all they are. But a lot of people, they're less than teeny boppers, or they are teeny boppers, and they love to hang around. It's just like kids love to hang around with the other kids and adults. And so the people who are teeny boppers spiritually love to hang around them because they talk the teeny bopper language. You know, I found like kids, like, you know, you find out, you know, I thought my dad didn't know nothing. And till I got older and found out, my God, the mistakes I would have never made if I'd have listened to him. Say, oh my God, he did know. You know, my dad wasn't a spirit-filled tongue talker, but I tell you, he knew about some good things of life to do and not to do. Amen. See, he had wisdom in areas and that stuff. And so you need to walk in. Well, I found this out. I found out for people. And this is why I was taking the time. I love with Kenneth Hagin and his teaching because he always kept pointing us back to the Word. Go to the Word. Go to the Word. What does the Word say about things? And just constantly drilling you with the Word. It's really, that's hugely important. You need to do that. You need to do that for yourself. You know, one of the things that Brother Hagin used to do, and I learned to do with him, he put out books. And his books, he'd always say, study my books. He didn't say read them. Study them. Study means when they mention a scripture, you go look it up, see what it says. 99% of Christians don't do that. And then they walk around, they do that to guys that don't know what they're talking about, say the Bible says, and then give a scripture, knowing this, nobody's going to ever check it to find it out. And so it don't say that. And then we run around, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that, when it don't say it at all. I found that out by looking up. I looked things up and found out, well, that person said this, that don't say that. You see, we need to take time, and it takes time. When I was involved in the areas of sorcery, I took time to looking into their stuff. I took time to find out, number one, I'd find out people wrote books about sorcery and stuff. But all they were just books. They had none of it in their life. They're just repeating things people say. I'd find somebody who was having experiences and reading how they got to where they got. See, this is me. I ain't interested in the big storytellers. I want the guy who's been somewhere so I can find out where I need to go. That's what you want to do. And thank God, there's always people out there that have been somewhere and somebody will tell you where you can hook up to if you want to get somewhere. And that's what you got to find. Do you want to go somewhere? Are you happy where you're at? I just say this. If you're not a studier, you're happy where you're at. You're basically happy where you're at. You're going to have to get over in those things. It's one of the things that I found out of studying. Like in this subject I'm going to teach, this is all free lunch right now. This ain't my notes. This is all free lunch. This is the Holy Ghost talking me through some things. But see, studying in this is one of the things. I got to sit down in this subject. I didn't pull out any notes or anything I had in the past. You know, I'm studying it out. You know, because number one, you know, regurgitation don't do too much. You know, there's many Christians who are dogs that return to their vomit. They just keep regurgitating what they already know. No, you ought to go on to something else. You ought to learn something more that you can add to that. And then you can put something out, you know. You know, I'm not into the baby food thing. You don't have to get the grinder out for Ed. You don't have to do that. We don't need the grinder. You know, you don't need to get those little jars out. You know, throw a steak on the grill and chuck it in front of it. You can turn around, you know. I don't be mind told that I'm stupid, that I need to learn something. They can throw that on the grill. I ain't afraid to learn something. I ain't afraid to find out I missed it. Why? Because you've all missed it, so get over yourself. So, you know, we've missed it. Every one of us have missed it at times. But you know what? Has God thrown you under the bus? Nah. It's all about learning. You know? My words, all them little kids get up and walk around, fall down, and everything else, and get right up, whine and cry. They got hurt falling down. But you know what? You can't get them standing up again. Just get away from them 2 seconds. They're right back up on that chair you told them not to get on. You know how they go so far? Because they don't listen to your stupidity. They're going to learn. We get bumped around. We just do things and that stuff. But I want to tell you what now. Somewhere, there's nothing to matter learning from mistakes. There's things I may say, I really learned a lot from that. I learned some things and that stuff. I learned things to do and not to do. You know, sometimes in my mistakes, I had some part was right. And so you find out what's right and everything else. And so we want to learn and walk in this area. Let's go on to spiritual things. Let's quit trying to make everybody happy. One of the things that we want to do, we're trying to bring a gospel to people without any kind of offense. There is no such gospel. Amen. It's not in the Bible.
Amen.
Every sinner has to come to the knowledge they're a sinner and they're lost. Everybody who's not born again is already judged by God to the lake of fire. It's already a done deal. They're not going to get judged. They're going to that. Now, they will be judged one day on their punishment there. But that is where they're going. Now, we don't like to say that, oh, no, we'll get people offended. I'm sorry. Jesus said this, they don't like me, they ain't going to like you. Get over yourself of trying to be everybody. This doesn't mean we're derogatory evil people, but we didn't bring people the knowledge of salvation. If people are okay, then they don't need salvation. They don't need it. They don't need saved from anything, do they, if they're all right?
That's right.
No, I know this for a fact. When the Holy Spirit dealt with me, I knew where I was headed. I knew it. You know, there's one thing as I learned. People need to know this. They need to know this. Sinners need to know they're taking other people, family members, along to hell with them. Mm-hmm. Men need to know this. Leaders and family, they need to know this. Whether following God or following the devil, you're taking people somewhere. Mm-hmm. Your authority, that's when the Lord dealt with me. He showed me my life and what I was doing. My wife and kids were going to end up following the direction I was going. They were going to end up in hell like me. See, this is why I learned. See, I learned early. It follows God. It affects his family. Most Christians have never learned that. They've never learned. They've never learned that. The power that we have, that what you have authority over, can really affect the will of other people in your family. So you need to know these things. But see, this is by understanding spiritual things. This is what I know. I learned this early, that most of Christianity don't understand that principle of the kingdom. They don't understand that. Because that totally revolutionized my life with thinking, hold it, I got to follow God. And it's like, you know, when I tell the story about, you know, when I got the, when the Lord dealt with me at the 128th Psalm. See, that was all on that principle. A man who fears the Lord and walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house and his children's olive plants around his table. That's when I, that was just a further indication of what I'd already learned. It was my responsibility, and the Lord said this to me, if you walk right, do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. Well, I never worried after that. That day, I never worried again that my family would end up in hell. Never worried again. That scripture isn't in the Bible for Ed. But see, we have lost these principles. I know this, Kenneth Hagin understood that principle. That's why he never wrung his hands about family members, even though they seemed, and he had a number of them that were really stupid. But he never wrung his hands about them. Because when he had revelation, it understood that his authority would work to help to change their lives. And he knew that. And you know what? He always lived like it was true. See, family members are always trying to fix everybody else. I know this. They don't understand this. They don't understand how this thing works. They don't understand. I know this about Ed. He has trouble fixing Ed. If I can't get God's hand on the wrench, I'm in trouble. And so we need to get a hold of this. But we're going to look at this because we want to step into the areas of the supernatural. Now, I don't know how many of you have Kenneth Hagin's book. Kenneth Hagin, there was a book published after, it was right after he was, went on to be with Jesus, and he got to leave us and left us here. But one of the things that happened, they published a book, and it was called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. Now, I don't know how many of you had it. I know in years past I said about, that is a marvelous book. And one of the things I'm going to use a lot of things, because there's just a lot of stuff in there that are so good in there and that stuff, and I'm going to use his things because they're so darn good. I mean, I can't do better than the Bible he got it out of. So it's like but we need to go after all of these things. It's number one. I would just recommend you to read the book. Get it out. Read the book. Go through that. Go to look up the scriptures because it's full of scriptures. It's all kinds of scriptures in there as going through. Because if we want to bring people to the spirit-filled life, we need to know the words to bring them there. Not just, well, you can be baptized and speak in tongues. Well, I watch lots of people that happened to them and they never went anywhere from there. That's all they ever did. They never went anywhere from that happening. Now, so really, from their standpoint, it didn't do them any better than not to be filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because God don't just throw things out there and do things for no purpose. There's a purpose in it. And as I found this out, if you can't get a hold of what the tongues thing's about, you won't go on to the rest of the stuff if you don't. And you will be limited on how far you can go of your knowledge in that area. See, the more knowledge I gain in an area, I find this, it takes you further. It increases your faith in that area. Now, number one, you're going to find this out. The reason some in the body of Christ have such difficulty, even from the areas of the spirit filled, like Jude said, you know, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, just reading the word and everything itself is not enough to just build your faith. If it does, what in the heck was Jude talking about? What was he saying? See, there's other things you do. Praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, builds your inner man up, builds strength on the inside of you in the inner man. Faith is out of the inner man. It's not out of your heart, and it isn't even out of your mouth if what you're saying ain't from within your heart. If what you're saying is just from your head, it don't produce anything. So in other words, We need to understand about tongues and the different ways that they were used, because we know this. From what Jude said, there's a part of tongues that blesses us, that helps us. There's also tongues and things that help others. And if you're not using them and we're not doing this, we're very limited in areas, because tongues takes us outside of your mental capacity. I've often wondered about my mental capacity sometimes. I think, phew. But see this, the wonderful thing about it, tongues can take you to pray out things you know nothing about, yet may be very important to you and what you're doing. See, we mostly pray, most of the time praying for people, we pray out of our mentality. I found this out many years ago. You can have 10 people doing the seems like doing the same thing, and we'll just group them together, and they got this problem, and it ain't happening at all. Two of them got another problem, this two got another one over here, and this, you don't know them. Unless God would reveal it to you, you wouldn't know what to pray about it naturally. You know, I've seen around where people had epilepsy. A person had epilepsy, it was actually a brain problem thing. Another person, it was demonic. And until that spirit was cast out of them, they couldn't get healed. Yet the other person was prayed for to be healed and got healed. See, you got to know why something's happening. Everything. Just because you see a manifestation. What we like to do, we're this thing. Well, we have it all canned. You know, if this is going on, it's that. If this is going on, I'm sorry, it don't work that way. It doesn't work like that. You can't tell by manifestations. You know, just about myself. See, people thought I was getting worse and worse as I was going on. They didn't know right. I was getting closer to God. God's dealing with me. That's why I was getting worse before I got saved. Because God's dealing with me. Now, see, people, just like one guy, this one that went to this church that, you know, he said to me after I got saved, he said, "You're the last guy I thought would get saved." And I said, "Well, I don't know this. You weren't praying for me." But see, why? He looked at my manifestations. I'm acting out worse and acting out worse, being more of a heathen. But see, I'm acting out because God's dealing with me. I'm frustrated. But it isn't because I'm far away from God. I'm probably nearer to God than he was. God was talking to me, but not to him. God was probably talking to him, but he was tone deaf. He didn't know. He just had no idea. But see, we can't look at people and tell their spiritual condition by what we see. This is why we have to know that this is our need of God and the Holy Spirit. This is our great need for people, of how to minister to people. I know I went as a young Christian and sat in one of these classes of how you witness to people. And I found this out, that you can't have some kind of canned thing and just go, witness people. Why? Because people are the same. What people are going through and dealing with, you can walk up and do things, you know. Just in the areas of healing. I had a guy one time, he's going through the areas of healing, and I realized that his faith, he wasn't the place he should be. And I was ministering to him in a service. And this came up in me. Ask him, how do you eat an elephant? And I thought, boy, this sounds stupid. How do you eat an elephant? I don't know. How do you eat an elephant? I don't know. I just came and said to him, how do you eat an elephant? So I just said to him, I said, how do you eat an elephant? And he just looked at me real dumb, and I'm thinking, the answer better come soon. This is the way the spirit realm works. This is why people don't like to go there. Because it requires faith. You're going to have what we want. I want to know the end from the beginning. Sorry, God's the only guy that got that. You'll never have it. So I said to him, and then I just said, came to me simply, a bite at a time. See, what his problem was? He got it right away. See, that was real. He's trying to eat the whole thing at one gulp, and his faith wasn't there. But if he started eating a bite at a time, he's going to end up with what he wanted. You see, God got wisdom. I didn't have that wisdom. I thought that's the stupidest thing in the world. How do you eat an elephant? It's like, we're having a healing service here, and how do you eat an elephant? See, I hope you you're learning from this. See, we want to go the supernatural. And the reason we're saying God, the Holy Spirit has me saying these, because as we're going to go over, one of the keys, tongues is what brought me to a lot of sensitivity in the spirit to pick up things. It took me there. Tongues has nothing to do is the natural other than this. You allow the Holy Ghost to use your voice. The words are coming from the Spirit, not you. It's not your mind. This is why people don't, because we like to have control. Our mind is the place that we like to hold control. See, people say, well, why would I pray in tongues? I don't know what I'm saying. Thank God. That's exactly where you need to be. Well, see, when I found out, I understood what tongues were for. I thought, this is great. I can go beyond Ed.
That's right.
Because I went as far as Ed could go, and that was a bad ride. That wasn't good at all. You know, I went that far. But I thought, I can actually go in, and I can hook up with the Holy Spirit to bring to pass what I don't understand or know. It's like, wow, isn't this something? See, tongues is something supernatural that the church has turned into natural. You turn it into something natural. And when you make it natural, people lose interest. Just another natural thing. So I don't do it anymore, you know. I just, why? They lose it. This is one of the things we want to look at this, because as we look at this and look through the scriptures, is what we're going to do is we're going to find out what the Bible said. And the Bible will inspire your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. The more you and I understand what the Bible says, the more it inspires us. And the more that it will inspire you, the more you will cooperate with it. Also, then the more you'll be able to bless others. You know, one of the things that I found out was this. When I first got born again, I listened to Kenneth Hagin. I would listen to his teaching. And I listened to him teach about, and he would use his stories. Most people loved his stories. What I liked about his stories was this fact. I found out how to minister to people listening how he ministered to people. I listened to how he ministered to people. And I found out, well, no wonder people ain't getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They ain't even ministering to them scripturally. They're trying to get free. This is like a shotgun thing, you know, which maybe we can get some of them filled, maybe some of them can't. And I was in a church, and the church that we were in was the first church that God sent us to just really be a part of. And I got loads of people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just a young Christian. And I didn't get them because I was so smart. I listened to what Kenneth Hagin said about ministering because, you know, people didn't know. I get people coming. They're you know, they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I would tell, I stopped telling them, you know, the Holy Ghost is already here. You're not trying to get God to send something to you. The Holy Ghost is already here. He's here. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to receive Him. That's all you have to do. See, is it people do? People do this. They don't receive Him. They're trying, their whole focus is tongues. Tongues, 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 tongues. I got, no, you got to receive the Holy Ghost first. You got to receive Him. Well, it's like I did. When I heard Kenneth Hagin, see, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. I was in my bedroom and I wasn't afraid, filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, praise God. I listened to his teaching. I said, okay, praise God. I said, right now, Lord, I said, I receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I'm just, thank you, Lord, for filling me with the Holy Ghost. I did not have one sign or anything was going to, I didn't do it. And then I said this, praise God, if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost because I ask and I believe I receive it, I'm in faith. So I said, therefore, I can speak in tongues. Thank God I can speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Well, see, I found this out. They were never leading people in line with faith. They were always trying to work something, you know, well, you know, trying to get a person to do this. No, don't do it. Hallelujah. I said, I can speak in tongues. And you know what I did? I said, well, if I can speak in tongues, I started speaking in tongues. And see, one of the things that I really like the fact is when I learned how to use faith, I know many people got filled with the Holy Ghost lots of times by other people or other things happened. God did by the Holy Spirit. But they don't really know how they got. They didn't get it by faith in that lots of times. People got it, God and His graciousness and His goodness. But I just thank God. God taught me by listening to Kenneth Hagin how to get things by faith. Because I found this out. I'd get people who had, they had had, like Kenneth Hagin say, man, these guys for 20 years trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost, could get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he would show up and they'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. And then these churches would be like, well, I don't understand how you do that. Well, see, people didn't know enough about the Bible, didn't know enough about the word concerning it. And so I would do that. I would just get people, and they'd have people in church, people for years and years trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'd talk to them and get filled with the Holy Ghost. We had full gospel businessmen. We'd get people filled with the Holy Ghost like crazy. And number one, you know why it worked? We got them out of church. People are so tied to their doctrines and are not tied to the Word. And it's, we need to do this. The whole point of this is to find the Scriptures, because the Scriptures build faith in you. It builds faith for the person, somebody who wants to receive, can receive. It also, the person who is, will build our faith to be able to put it, and it becomes productive in your life, where you step over to the areas of the supernatural, where you become to walk more in these areas. That's what we want. Other than that, it comes to this. Stuff is not going to just happen to you and through you. You have to learn how to yield by faith, and that's what it requires. You have to do things by faith. I found out that many times things that happened through me over the years happened supernaturally, usually by something that seemed sort of strange to do, seemed sort of weird to do, you know. Like I tell the story, like when Wanda's uncle was healed, was in the hospital, he has a tractor rolled down a bank and he had a blood clot in his brain and he was in the hospital. And you know, we invited people over to our house for dinner, and this is the first time these folks have ever been here. In fact, the one couple, so you're doing that. And so we sit down to eat, and the Lord says to me, I want you to go upstairs and pray. Now, here's my natural mind with, well, we just invited these people here. Now, this, you know what? This ain't polite. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, most people, if I would, well, naturally, this is what you do. And this just kept coming up again. Finally, I just looked at Wanda and said, Wanda, I got to go upstairs and pray on that stuff. I said, I got to. And I left. I'm just going to tell you this. If I would have disobeyed, he wouldn't have got healed. This is why many times people don't get healed. We've been asking God to do something, and he's trying to get us to do something. And you know, I went upstairs, started praying. Didn't have a clue. See, we had prayed for him before and stuff and things. And you know, I'm up there praying, and you know what I knew to pray about? In tongues. That's the only thing I got going for. Because I don't even know why I'm there. He said, go upstairs and pray. So I'm praying in tongues. And I'm up there praying in tongues. And finally, the one guy, I guess they had got done eating. I'm upstairs a little while. And he comes up and he says, God told you to come up here and pray, didn't he? And I said, yes, he did. And so I'm there praying. And all of a sudden, just like that, word of knowledge kicks in. Well, I understood what it was. It was not a word of knowledge, but it was a gift of faith fell on me. And I just declared that Wanda's uncle was healed. I just said it out of my mouth. He's healed in the name of Jesus. And when I said it, the power of God hit me and knocked me on the floor. Now, Ed didn't coordinate or do any of that. You know, I'm on the floor laughing. You know, this last time you got knocked down, you laughed. Well, God knocked you down, you laughed. So anyhow, I'm laying on the floor laughing. But anyhow, the next day, Wanda goes up to Harrisburg, the hospital, to visit him. He's in the hospital. And she got up there and she took Elena. It was just a little tight then, too. And so she took Elena with her, went up to the hospital, and she come back. She said, you'd never known anything ever happened. He said, he's up walking around like everything's okay and going on. Said, if it's Carolina, walk around talking to everybody. Everything's going on. It's cool. Do you know what? God did. God initiated that. God was looking for someone who would listen to him. Now, I'm sure Ed ain't been perfect at this thing. But see, we many times, because we don't develop in the spirit realm, we miss things. And God is trying to bring to pass through us the things that we wanted. But we don't cooperate. Sometimes it's a lack of spiritual sensitivity. We just don't have that. You know why troubles and problems come around? And this is one of the things I was always thankful the Lord said to me. He said, I'm going to teach you to walk by faith through your military training. I learned to hear God when the roar is going, when the bombs are dropping. You have to learn to do that. Most people, the roars of life, they can't shut them off. You got to learn to shut them off. One of the things is I learned spirit, praying in tongues helps you shut things down. Praying in tongues helps you not to be worried and wringing hands about all the problems going on. It builds you up in your most holy faith, where faith becomes stronger in you than the problem. This is why this stuff is necessary. And as we'll go through this, and this is all introduction stuff today that I didn't know that I was going to give it this way. But anyhow, the Holy Ghost would. But the thing of it is, one of the things I'm going to read to you something from Kenneth Hagin is the foreword in his book, which I think is really good because it opens up to us. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is, like, I'm going through and studying, looking into this subject and studying, and I'm just amazed at things that lights coming on to me about some things. And it's, you know, because it ain't like, this ain't my first rodeo in this area. So you can come around and say, but you start getting into the Word and light starts coming. And, you know, it is amazing. And that's why I love, you say, well, I know this subject. Well, then you really do need to study it because of what you said, like you know.
That's right.
Well, Al, you know you need to be studying that because you think you know. This is why I decided when I was going to go over here, Ed, you're just going to redo everything. We're going to sit down and go through everything all over again. God's Word is worthy of it. He is worthy of it. The more respect I show toward the more respect I show toward Jesus Christ. See, if you ain't in love with His Word, you ain't in love with Him. His Word is His life that works for us here, and it's that. So we want to do that. But here's Kenneth Hagin. Now this is out of the book Beyond the Upper Room from Kenneth E. Hagin. It says, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. It says, over the centuries, there has been much misunderstanding in the church concerning the matter of speaking with other tongues, not only among those who don't speak with tongues, but also with those who do. He says, first, there are those outside of Pentecost and the charismatic circles who don't speak with tongues. They know nothing at all about the subject, or they have wrong ideas about tongues that cannot be borne out in Scripture. You need to understand this is a huge important part. The majority of Christians, the majority, very much, probably 75% of Christians you're going to run into don't know a thing about baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they believe wrong about it. Most people are not Spirit-filled. Most churches are not Spirit-filled churches. So you know what? We know this. The church world knows a lot less about the Bible than they think they do. They know a lot less. You'd think that the majority of the churches would be going along with this. Most churches are in unbelief. This is why we have been so limited in the moves of God. Been so limited. It says, then there are those in Pentecost and charismatic circles who also know very little about this subject, and even they themselves speak with tongues. These Christians don't realize the value derived from exercising the gift, nor do they understand the scope, the purpose, and the use of tongues. As a result, they often take tongues out of its proper setting in the Word, and their ignorance leads them to excess and unscriptural practices. They go too far, taking tongues beyond the Word, what the Word says. It says, in both cases, the lack of understanding about tongues has brought much damage to the cause of Christ and has robbed multitudes of blessings God intended for them to have. It says, in the church world as a whole, a wide variety of teaching exists on this subject of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. But we need to examine what we believe in the light of God's Word, not in the light of our experience, nor in the light of what our particular church or denomination teaches. We also need to remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant of things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Yet the fact remains that misunderstanding about when it comes to this subject of speaking with other tongues. However, one thing is surely certain. This is not a subject to be cast lightly aside or considered to be unimportant to the body of Christ. God does not fill His book with things of minor importance, nor does He make unnecessary statements, and He has much to say about this matter in His Word. That is why I want us to do an in-depth study on the speaking with other tongues. Years ago, the Lord told me that there are some areas of prayer and intercession that will be lost unless we who are experienced in prayer somehow get those truths over to this present generation. God needs more people of prayer to get the job done on the earth. I'm inviting you to be one of them and to start by learning more about the true scope and value of praying in other tongues. Well, I remember when I first read that through, I was so glad to see this book was published for this reason. There wasn't really a lot of good published out there about tongues. I haven't seen any other really good books. This is the most extensive teaching I've ever seen on this subject alone. Just about this subject and its importance. Now, one of the things that is, before I had read this and this book published, and I've been back in the 1990s, the Lord said this to me. He said, this last day move of God cannot be brought in by people who don't speak in tongues. He said, they don't have the ability to do it. Because it's going to require people who can pray and seek me beyond their mental ideas and capacities. See, we need to understand this. You know, some people, Southern Baptists, one of the things that they began to open up themselves. Southern Baptists have a lot of missionaries out. They put a lot of missionaries out. But the Southern Baptists and missionaries, they started hooking up with Rhema groups overseas. Because they noticed this. They noticed this happening. These people, they get many manifestations. God does all kind of stuff that he don't do through us. They noticed it. See, one of the greatest witnesses you can do to people is to be supernatural. See, I found this out at Reese's. When I worked at Camp Reese's, when I got around and God would do things through me, even the Christians would come to me and ask me to pray for certain things. They wouldn't ask other Christians. They'd come and ask me. Why? Results. It wasn't because I was so smart. It wasn't because I was smart. Because I could pray outside of my ability. It's like a guy one day, he came to me and he went to this church. He was more sensible than these other guys at this church. But anyhow, he came to me and he said to me, I have a friend. He said there was down in Virginia, was in a car accident. He said, we went to school together. And he said, we were really close in school. And he said, he's down there and he's been in a coma for a long time. And he said to me, they moved him from Virginia up to the medical center up here for treatment. They said they want to find out, they're, you know, running things on him and trying to, you know, what they do is they want to get a person out of coma. And so they're more or less doing him as a sort of little bit of a study to find out what they can do to get this guy out. So he said, they gave me a call and they said they want to find out things what would trigger a person because they found this out. Sometimes a certain person can trigger in somebody talking to them. You need to understand this. People in comas lots of times can hear things going on around them. This is why when you go in the hospital, you watch what you talk around people in the bed. You don't think they hear you? No, the devil's doing. If you're around there talking about, oh yeah, we don't know if they're going to make it. We need to pray. Just forget it. Go home. If you don't think they're going to make it, just forget you're praying. Don't even bother being there. But anyhow, he said, they called me and asked me if I'd come in and talk to him, if I would do that. So he said to me, would you pray about that? I said, sure. I said, I'll pray about it. So what I did at lunchtime, I went down to the prayer room. It was a locker room. That was my prayer room. I'd get down to the locker room, you know. I'd get down there because, you know, it'd be so much busy and noise in the cafeteria and stuff when you went around any of that stuff. So I'd go down there because it usually had less people would be around down there. So I went down there praying about it. Now, here I'm down there. I don't know. I just pray about this guy, and then I'm just start praying in tongues. I'm just praying away in tongues. I'm praying away in this tongues about this. Holy Ghost, you know, we need this help. So you're going to help me. I'm going to pray out, you know, concerning these things. And the Holy Ghost is going to help me, and I'm praying away. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you go tell him that when he goes over there and he talks to his friend, he's going to wake up. He says, go tell him. Now, this guy asked me to pray. He wants God's help. Now, this is really interesting because I found this in people all the time. They say they want help. They'd be all pray for me. And if you went and told them God was going to do it, they'd be the first unbeliever in the group. So anyhow, I went and got him. I found him. I said, The Lord told me to tell you this. See, in their church, they don't say the Lord told you anything. They don't say that to us. So I said to him, I said, the Lord told me to tell you that when you go over there and talk to him, he's going to wake up. And he just sort of looked at me in a blank face. Well, I said, go just and see. And I walked on. See, the Lord did this as a witness to him. His faith had nothing to do with it. He didn't have an ounce of nothing in him. Him to prayer is, we got a target back here and we throw darts at it and maybe we'll hit the bullseye, you know. Wow. Well, the next day he comes to work and he's all giddy. He comes to me and he said, you know what? He said, I went in there and talked to that guy and he woke up. I said, oh no. You think that would have really happened? I said, I knew that before you went over. And you did too. But you didn't believe it. He went in and he woke up. See, God would do things like that. That was my witness to people. See, if all you got's talk, you ain't got enough. You ain't got enough. You ain't got enough. God will do it just like that. God bared witness with him. He was totally different about spirit-filled people after that. One thing is he didn't know. You don't run around and criticize Ed. Ed knows God. Now, this is, I'm just genius, but he had never run anybody that really knows God talks to him. I found out there was a lot of people. I found even sinners were excited to find out God talked to somebody because they had went to too many churches where God talked to nobody. They were glad. See, I was never so excited. You know, when I was over in my little sinner realm and dealing with demons and stuff, I was excited when I read Kenneth Hagin's book that God actually did talk to somebody. My God. Somebody knew God. I went to churches and I met so many Christians without number. And I, if you talked about knowing God, him talking to you, all of them would have thought you the weirdest guy in town. And every one of them talked about being spiritual and didn't know a thing about being spiritual. They didn't know nothing about it. And so, hallelujah. I'm glad to find out somebody knows God. Amen. I'm so glad to find out there's people that know more about him than I do. Hallelujah. Amen. You learn from them. Glory to God, you get something from somebody that knows something. So you want to get over there and walk in the light of that. And I just want, you know, we want to get a hold of this today. I'm not going to, next week we're going to start in and looking specifically at teaching, because one of the things it is dealing with the areas of tongues. When I came into the kingdom, tongues was really a big thing going on. People were doing the charismatic renewal. People left and right were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It was in among every denomination and everything. You know, everybody was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. When we, with Full Gospel Businessmen, I mean, there wasn't a denomination of people that we didn't lay hands on people that got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, Catholics, Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, God's moving, you know. And I want you to understand this. God got people who are born again in all these groups. You know, read the book of Revelation. Look at the churches of Revelation. I mean, Laodicean church is the bottom of the barrel. But yet there's still people in that church. That church is in left field where it's going. Yet there's people in there that know God. And you want to find that that's in every group. You know, this is one of the people, these guys that used to go around and research that, they tell people, well, you can't be saved if you're a Catholic. When does salvation have to do with the group you belong to? I didn't know that. But see, that's how they're dumb teaching. You do that. And so they would do nothing but turn the Catholics off. There's Catholics that believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, they might have other flaky beliefs, but so do we. Let me just tell you this little story, Kenneth Hagin. It really helped me a lot. Kenneth Hagin talked about ministering, and he said the Lord told him, he said he wasn't having the extent of what he wanted, and the Lord said, told him he needs to get some unbelief out of him. And he said, he sat down and he was, you know, checking himself out and that stuff, and he got over looking, and he said, I found this out. He said, the worst problem and the hardest time I had getting out of me things was, he says, our Pentecostal beliefs. He said that was harder to get out of me than my old Baptist beliefs. to why some people don't throw out beliefs is for this reason. They don't want to seem odd in the group because the group believes a certain way. Well, I got used to getting stoned. And God would have to raise me from the dead every once in a while. But, you know, because just like me, I'm not trying to be trouble, but you know, people, well, there's this way and that way. Well, I can't go that way. That's not right. This is the way we believe. Well, now that is not a popular way to go, but I found out that's exactly what Kenneth Hagin went through. People don't realize this. Most of the people, like in our time, we saw Kenneth Hagin after his ministry and everything. Kenneth Hagin was persecuted like crazy. Horrendously. Even among his own people. God would have him minister and do things. Miracles would take place. But it didn't happen like they believe it should happen. And they would stone him. You need to understand this. This is one thing I learned a long time. I'm going to walk. You know, I'm not running a popularity contest. I'm not going that way. And you know, I always just figured, well, if they're wanting to crucify you, there's a good chance. You're a lot more like Jesus. Because today, people are always trying to fit in with everybody. I'm sorry, you know. You know, a 5-year-old and a 35-year-old don't fit in well together, do they? That 35-year-old has to come down and pat that little 5-year-old, you know. But the 5-year-old don't pat that person. And see, I learned this a long time ago. If you're going to grow up in the church world today, you're going to be dealing with mostly babies. You're going to have to pat and hit them. And when you tell them what you really believe, and they're going to get mad because they don't like your beliefs. They're going to get upset that you got, no. You know, God will tell you things that will cause trouble. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, God gave him a special anointing to lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Gave him a special anointing. And you know what Brother Hagin said? Lord, I don't want that. You give it to somebody else. He said, that ain't going to cause me nothing but trouble. And he was right. See, people that have their ideas about how you get filled with the Holy Ghost. They have their ideas. He said, I'll give you, he has his special anointing. Well, he found out that this anointing only would lay hands on people. He could crawl a group of people forward and tell them, be filled with the Spirit, and they'd all speak in tongues. And that threw everybody, oh, we can't do that. Is that really God? And he said, it did nothing but cause me in troubles in churches. He said, God had me minister. Why? They believed in tarrying. They believed in tarrying for the Holy Spirit. You go tarry. You pray. Well, they did the same thing. I went to a church and that's what they did for salvation. You went to an altar and you prayed through, they called. Well, everybody went to the altar. Most nobody ever got saved because they're down there. Wasn't about faith. Wasn't about confession, Jesus. This is what their religious belief was. Well, it's like I tell the story. My mom, we went to a church and this guy called these people forward and had to confess a prayer. Jesus is Lord. And my mom said, you can't get saved that way. See, she got her rocks out right away. Her believing was totally wrong. You know? He said, can't be done that easy. That's what she said. You can't get saved that easy. See, my God, I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed that easy. But see, this is what they're doing. See, people have their doctrines, and when you come along and you don't, why? The whole problem is, don't know the Bible. People don't know the Word. The Word is not studied. One of the things we're going to find out is we look in this. The word baptism, the Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. We have these, the average Christian and even spiritual Christian, you throw the word baptism and immediately they think of water. Number one. Do you know what? Scripture talks less about that than any. But it's the number one of the church. Most of the time, if you read in context, it's talking about being born again, being baptized into Christ. It's not talking about that one. It's not talking about it. But people don't know. No, water's the thing. Water's the thing. So, number one, you got to learn to study the Bible in its context. Find out where it's at. Let me just bring this up. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 1, place it says in there, Paul wrote and says, If you speak in tongues, pray that you might interpret. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you find out the whole chapter, he's talking about the ministry of tongues and interpretation in the church. This is what it's talking about. When Paul made the statement, if you speak in tongues, pray that you may interpret, it doesn't mean every time, and I've heard people tell, big name ministers, I receive it, well, you should be able to pray in tongues and interpret every time what you say. Say, hold it. That's out of context. He was talking about ministry in the church. It's in front of people. You're not going to turn around and interpret everything that you pray in tongues. You're not going to. Yet they turn around and why? They pulled it out of its context. Paul was talking about the ministry in the church. He wasn't talking about your personal prayer life. And you're out here praying about things. And so, see, people pull. I saw big name ministers. And you know what? I watched them. And you know what? They interpreted stuff out of their mind. It wasn't now their spirit. They started getting into error. Saying things that were not God. Number one, if you're speaking in tongues, you better have the anointing to interpret. You don't decide you're gonna. Things happen as the Spirit wills, and it stays in that manner. You see, I watched that thing. I watched that stuff going on with people, and I thought, this isn't good. This is not good. This becomes man's thing. I want to interpret everything. Now, I want you to know this. Sometimes, and this is not interpretation, and this may happen to you. Sometimes I pray in tongues, and I start getting a jest in me of what I'm praying about. Now, that's not interpretation, because I don't want to interpret it, because I'm only getting a sense of what's going on. If I interpret that as being what it is, everything about it, what it is, probably miss it. I would probably miss it. But I can just get a sense God's moving this way, or he's something in here is going on. And that's not interpretation. So don't try to interpret that. Just thank God if he showed you something, and just keep praying in tongues. Because see, your spirit, the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. Don't be surprised you pick up things just because the Holy Spirit. It isn't necessarily a gift of the Spirit going in on inside of you, but you learn to get sensitive in your own spirit. There's many things that I pick up. Sometimes I know people say it's a gift of the Spirit. Really, sometimes I get around people or something, I can get a sense. You know, if they're dealing with something, I just get a sense about it. I get a sense about what they're. But it isn't a gift of the Spirit. I just pick up in this, your spirit, you know, they got the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost. It's in, and you can pick up things around you. We shouldn't be surprised at that. You know, becoming sensitive on the inside, you'll be amazed how much things you pick up. You have to learn, though, in doing that, learn this. Just because you sensed it, don't mean you're supposed to say something bad. Because you may mess things up real bad. If you do, because you sense things. See, number one, know that the anointing's there. Know those kinds of things. Learn to be sensitive on the inside. What to do, not to do. You know, we're so quick in pulling the gun and shooting. You know, we're the quick draws. You know, let's just get it done now. We're so patient. Oh, you got to pull it off. I'm going to empty these six bullets real quick. Ha! Bad dude. Hallelujah. Should I tell you how this stuff works? You just learn over time, practicing things. You learn where you hit it. You learn where you miss it. You learn. You just go along. There's one thing. I am not afraid to make a mistake. Because if you are, you ain't going nowhere. I'll just tell you, you're going to make mistakes. And God's cleaned up some of my messes wonderfully. You know, but you're not trying to make a mistake. Your gun is just growing up. We don't hoard our children. You know, a child don't get 100 on a test all the time. What do we slap them or what? Come on. You think God's different? See, this one people say, well, I had a sense of this, but I didn't do it. Well, see, I didn't know when it was. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I learned, Kenneth Hagin, he had a lot of wisdom in areas, and I learned this. He said, if you go ahead with that, what's it going to hurt than other than maybe make you look stupid? And I thought, that's why I've been holding back. I'm already stupid. They're going to know I'm real stupid. But I had to learn to throw that aside. Amen. I had to learn to throw that aside and say, you know what? We'll just say, well, Ed missed it. I've heard Brother Hagin do. I heard Brother Hagin give a person a word and then say, if I don't speak to you, throw it out. I missed it. If I don't witness in your heart what I said. I thought, Man, I never ran into a minister that did that. I heard from heaven and you best take it. I heard him say it. He said, now if that doesn't bear witness to you, he said this. He said, I'm a human. I can make a mistake. I thought, my God, you ought to preach that to a lot of ministers. Because there's a lot of things been said wasn't right. But there's nothing wrong with it. You know, does it bear witness with your spirit? Does it bear witness with you? If it don't, that's fine. You know, sometimes you may be right about something, but the person don't catch it right away. Later on, they might. But whatever. If you missed it, well, you know, because a person has to know within themselves. They can't know because you do. Mm-hmm. They have to know themselves. So this is good stuff that I'm preaching.
Amen.
It's really good stuff. And as we go into this, we want to learn about this because I want you to come a place where you're not fearful. There's nothing more wonderful than have a group of people like we have here get together that if somebody operates in something, we don't have to, and misses it, who cares? We love each other. My God. But we can operate together. This is the thing. You know? We shouldn't have this fear. I learned how to operate. First of all, I learned about operating gifts of the Spirit in my own house. I learned how to do it there. But I thank God I was in a church that they would allow it. They were messed up on some things. But you know, I'll tell you what, I learned in that church how to operate through gifts. I learned how to do that. I learned a lot of that stuff. And then I went to Rhema Bible Church and found out, boy, they clamped down on it. They don't want no gifts of the Spirit. A few might say it they want. But that was what it was. You know, it was a real, you couldn't learn in the church there to operate in gifts of the Spirit. You couldn't learn it there. Now it wasn't Brother Hagin, but they wouldn't learn it there. Now, I'm not saying just to be credible. You need to understand this. We need to not be afraid. I had associate pastors there who told me personally they weren't allowed to operate in gifts of the Spirit. Could only one person was allowed to. They weren't allowed to. You know, hey, so now God can, you know, God works. You know, it's me. Well, that's His thing. He can, you know, how they do it, they do it. That's all right in that way. But it's one thing is I was always thankful this, that I didn't grow up in that church. I was so glad I didn't. Now, did you know you couldn't learn things in that church? You sure could. But you wouldn't learn an operation of gifts of the Spirit. See, I'm not nervous if somebody isn't. I ain't nervous if somebody makes a mistake. Because now you're in my club. I know about that. I want to tell you this. If you learn to lose this fear, you will hit it a lot more than you miss it. You would be surprised how many times you got senses of things and they were exactly right. You'd be surprised. But see, mostly we're looking at the natural and that stuff and we're looking at things. We're not trying to, you know, we don't want to become frivolous and crazy and just saying stuff out here and doing things. But we want to do the things. We want people to be able to develop spiritually. We want people to do that. And see, we know it is concerning the gifts of the Spirit. You know, God wants to manifest them and do them. And this is the things I believe as we look at. I learned, sit under Kenneth Hagin's teaching and learned these things about tongues and learned about this stuff. And I learned how to operate young as a Christian in here. And I watched over time, things faded and faded and faded and got more away from it, more and more away from it in those areas. And see, I want to move with God, and God cannot move without people. If we can't hook up with Him, He can't move through us. Now, this ain't to shame nobody. We get in the Word, I believe you find out that we can hook up with God. We can do it. God can, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are for everyone. There's not a one in the body of Christ that the Holy Ghost will not manifest one of the 12 gifts of the Spirit at times. See, I've had every gift of the Spirit at one time or another has operated through me. See, some people say, well, I have this gift. I don't. Now, there's ones that are more prevalent through me is, now, I will have like tongues of interpretation. I'll have prophecy. But the word of knowledge is probably the one that operates through me the most. Probably the next one after that would be dealing with the area of the gift of faith. I've had numbers of times operate through me and doing that. But you can't make that happen. You don't make those things take. Mm-hmm. That's right. They operate as the Spirit wills. They operate. And so we want to have, but one of the things we need to know this, it just doesn't operate for an individual from the standpoint. if you have a flow of people going with it, really that was enhances things. If you don't, you'll find out lots of times it don't work. Gifts don't work. Now, like the gift of faith operated, I'll use this story here in closing. The gift of faith operated through me one time. I went down to a meeting down in Florida and drove down. I left here on Sunday after church and drove to Florida, drove straight through. Prayed in tongues for about 19 hours straight. I just prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. I prayed in tongues so darn much. I'll tell you what, I was insane in tongues. I'll tell you what, I just prayed in tongues. I just kept praying in tongues. Driving down there. So I got there, I thought, well, I'm going down there. I'm going down to some meetings. I'm going to be ready for them. When I get in there, you know, man, I'm going to tell you what, you know, I'm going to be fired up. Well, I get down there and I get there in the afternoon before the service. And so I just got a hotel just down the street from their convention area there. And so I wanted to lay down. I hadn't slept. I hadn't slept all night. I hadn't slept since Sunday morning, 5:30 in the morning, all the next day until the next afternoon. I ain't slept. I prayed in tongues and I could have ran a marathon. But I thought, I ought to let sit down and rest because I don't want to get drowsy in the service. Go in there and sit down and get drowsy. So I'm going to lay down and rest. So I laid down and my daughter Lena was living in Nebraska at the time and she gave me a call. She said, Dad, I want you to pray for something. She said, we have a lady here that works. So on our staff, she said, she's taking her kids. She works there. She's taking her kids to a daycare and then she was going to come to work. She got broadsided by a pickup truck and, it killed her. And, the oldest boy, I forget how old he was just very young, but the other one was a baby. The oldest boy was all right, but the baby was in critical condition. And she said, Dad, would you pray for that baby? And I said, sure. I said, I'll pray. I said, yeah, I will. So I thought, well, now this was being led by the Spirit. You want to be led by the Spirit. I thought, well, I'm going to start praying. You know, this is what I'm going to do. I said, I'd pray. I'd start praying. And the Spirit of God said to me, don't pray. Wait till you get to the service tonight. I thought, you know, this baby's in critical condition. Don't God know? He should have convulsed with Ed a little bit about this. He got over onto that. And I'm thinking about this. I thought, I'm just going to obey it. Now, this is why it's getting into a place where it's moving on. When I went into the building, and I walked into the building, I went off. So what I did is I went to the side, and I sat down. You know, it's like an arena inside. And I sat over, as you walked in from the back, the left-hand side, the stage up. I'm sitting up above, and I just, about halfway up, I took a seat and sat down. And I was sitting there, and I kept sensing something, and I thought, what is this I sense in here going on? All of a sudden, it dawned on me. See, I'd never seen this happen, and I don't know of any minister I've ever talked to said it. See, I know when the anointing would come on me and the gift of faith would go into operation. I know what that was. The gift was in the building. I walked in. The gift was there. See, I was sensing it because I knew it being on, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me what this was. Well, I knew this. I just hooked up to it. And I just said this out of my mouth. I said, and I named that baby. I said, that baby's healed in the name of Jesus. Never said another word after that. I knew that baby was, I knew that it was done. I just knew that that thing is finished. Next day, my daughter gives a call and said, the baby's doing fine. It's not critical. The father can hold it and feeding it and doing everything. It's working out good. But see, it isn't just praying in tongues under, but I tell you, listening to God. See, what a good me to do if I would have done it through my prayer thing. What if I hadn't listened? See, God had a plan. But you know what I realized is, people set that thing in motion that manifestation was going on in that place. It wasn't going on just because Ed got there. I thought about this the whole time sitting there. Anybody in this place could get healed if they understood this. It's here. The gift of faith is here. You could hook up to it, call it out, and you'd have it. I've often wondered, how much times is this kind of things going on and we haven't recognized it? I didn't recognize it because it's so supernatural and wonderful. Thank God I recognize it. But the Lord told me, you wait till you get there. Why? I'm going to have a result that's going to be greater than can you do just standing over here just praying, you know, yourself. But God had a plan for something greater. But I thought about it. What could they have had in that place? See, I believe there's a lot of things in the Spirit we are very childish about. And I said, we. I think there's a lot more to this stuff than we really get. When I saw that one and saw how that worked, I thought, my God, nobody ever talked to me about this one. And I ain't met nobody yet who said anything about it. Now, Brother Hagin, he said, talked about moves of the Spirit and stuff in times past. He said, we haven't experienced in our generations. Wouldn't surprise me that's some of it. Because he talked about, you know, that they would have meetings. He said there'd be a flash of light in the building. And he said, everybody be blinded. He said, you would flash a light. And he said, when you could see again, every sinner in the place would be at the altar. None of them would know how they got there. None of them would know. He said, wish I knew how that one worked. They flipped the lights on and off. I'll guarantee you there'll be people doing it. I'll be people trying that out. I don't know. But you know, he told those things. And that's why I say, folks, God wants to take us somewhere. Let's get on the bus and go for the ride. Amen. Now, let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Lord, I'm so glad how much you love the church. And Lord God, you have been so diligently patient with us. And I thank you, Father God, for what we do know. But Lord, I expect in this time, as we take these time to go through these things, our eyes are going to be open to much more. Father, we're going to step into much more. And Lord God, it's going to lead us to be much more for your kingdom. Where Jesus Christ can not just be magnified through our words, but through our deeds and our demonstrations, where his glory gets to be seen. Lord, you know, I've said for years, and I've always looked at Jesus, his ministry, Father, and I always saw this about him. He would do wondrous things, and it says, and they would glorify the God of Israel. And I've always said, Lord, I want it in the church where your glory is revealed, and they know that men can't do this stuff, that only God can do these things, that men glorify God. And that's what we want. Lord, the demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit are a normal thing for the church. They're not abnormal. They're not something strange. They're the norm. Lord God, and we realize that if they operate through us, it's just because the Holy Ghost decided to do that. Lord, we're not going to draw any praise or glory to ourselves because, Lord, we don't make this stuff work. Lord, we've tried it. We've pulled all the chains and blew the whistles and did every kind of thing. Lord God, we've tried to make them happen. But I want to thank you, Lord God. We're going to rest in your word and in the Holy Ghost. We're going to rest in your ability to reveal to us and to teach us and instruct us and demonstrate your glory through us. Lord God, that people call on the name of Jesus. Oh, that man wants Jesus and that men and women want his glory working through them. Hallelujah. And Father God, we can minister to them so they can walk and live in the glory and demonstrate the glory also. So we thank you, Father. Father, we want to go back getting people filled with the Holy Ghost again. Hallelujah. Rising up, Lord God, the great giant, the church, hallelujah, rising up in the glory, walking in the light. Lord God, I want to thank you. You're going to restore to ones, Lord, that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, but Lord God, have really not walked in the light of it. I thank you, Lord God, there's going to be a refire in them in the name of Jesus. Refire, rekindled again, hallelujah. Lord God, there's going to be a hunger and a thirst, hallelujah, for righteousness, and we will be filled, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So I thank you, Father. Father, we expect you to do mighty and wonderful things. And Lord God, we sure can expect that of you because that's your nature. Hallelujah. Lord God, it won't be surprised to me you just do wild, crazy things to blow our little minds. Hallelujah. Because you're a great God and you're going to grab people in this last day and time and bring them into the kingdom by the hordes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, did you get something today?
Amen.
Well, I did. I wish I'd known that guy preached that thing. I tell you. Praise God, he's good. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Amen.